once heard a teaching from Dogo Rinpoche. I don't know if I spelled the name correctly. And he was explaining how we have 72 for the concern, because the likes and dislikes, when it happens to me, then to somebody who we like, to a friend, to somebody that we don't like, that's 24, and then in the three times, the fear that it will happen, the difficulties of the thought that it already happened, and the present, of course,
it
became 72,
two.
For the concern that we are engaged in
all the time,
continuously.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think we have to admit that we have these kinds of things, and yet also know that these are things that we have to work on. Everybody gets distracted so easily. Yeah? So, you know, to be able to talk to them, if you do the nonviolent communication program, to talk about these things, and then also bring in the Dharma perspective of, yes, we have these needs, and it's good that we communicate them to each other, and yet to also know that it's something that we're all working on personally, you know, because we know that we have to try and reduce these things. Okay, and so then we don't expect ourselves to be Buddhas. We don't expect everybody else to be a Buddha. And then when we don't have those expectations, then there's room for love and compassion, isn't there? Because we don't have love and compassion for the Buddha. We have love and compassion for sentient beings. And love and compassion doesn't mean we're looking down on people. Yeah? Compassion doesn't mean, oh, you poor slob, your life is such a mess. I have compassion for you. That's not compassion, that's pity, okay? That's condescension. So I'm not talking about that. Okay? And then I think, you know, as you share in this kind of way and, you know, become more transparent with each other, then you start reminding each other of many of the things. Because like now, you know, I'm not at the Abbey, but I know that they're all processing stuff and helping each other, you know, because we kind of have this system in place where we check in with each other and, you know, people take some time and work things out.
When you started, it seemed to me that you started to count the things that you need to do or to have in order to bring the Dharma to the West, and you started with understanding the Dharma.
Mm-hmm.
There were any other points you wanted to mention?
Yeah. I remember once when I asked my teacher about this. And he said, this is Geshe Sonam Rinchen, for those of you who've been to Dharamsala. Geshe Sonam Rinchen, yeah, who teaches at the library. So he said you need three things. You need the students, you need a teacher, and you need the facilities. Yeah? So it's all three things together, you know. You need somebody to teach, you need the students who want to learn and who will support the teacher and, you know, organize things, and then you need some facilities to have this occur in. Yeah. So I thought that was, you know, that always stuck in my mind when he said that. Yeah. Other things? Yeah.
First, I thought it's interesting that but is the same as button.
Yeah.
As Gilia spoke before, we're not a member of his Dharma, the Dharma friends. Though we're very grateful, because when we try and sent our city retreats through the different organizations, and although I started with the Theravada tradition, And the Dharma friend was the openest, which is amazing. And I'm really grateful to you. If I mind, I want to connect with what we all said in the beginning about the future. Because I think that one must have a vision in the sky and less in the air.
Yeah.
And when I'm thinking about myself, I'm thinking about myself as a big field of mud and a big stone that is thrown down. And if the mud is sticky, the stone goes like this.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm becoming not so concrete, the stone can make waves. The waves can go farther and farther. And the basis is the personal practice, which never ends.
Mm-hmm.
That's to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we have to speak about to know the facts. I have a company that deals with market research. And I wanted to know whether I'm a kind of weirdo in Israel.
Whether you're a kind of
weirdo.
Oh, a weirdo. Okay.
Because when we started, like times ago, you couldn't say that you are a Buddhist and you couldn't say that you are in a kind of spiritual way because they would hospitalize you. And I did a survey. Because it doesn't cost me money. So there is something like 11% of the Israeli population that are interested in Buddhism.
Wow.
11%. Which means something like between 300,000 to 400,000 people. And then when we ask them, do you know what Vipassana is? Everybody knows it's like 20-25% knows what's Vipassana. Not speaking the whole week. but when I asked another question, whether would you be interested in joining a Buddhist workshop, whether it's a city retreat with no sleeping, or it's 5 to 10 days including sleeping. Mm-hmm. And when the payment is based on dana, I didn't use the word dana, but there was like, if I'm not wrong, something like 12.5%, which means something like 70,000 to 100,000 people.
What percentage was it? Did you say
something like 2.5%?
Cent.
Okay. So this is declaration. What? They are ready to participate in some kind of Buddhist activity. And the point is that everybody has a different personality, and some would like to go only to a three meetings course, and somebody else would like to do a city retreat and come home on Friday to the meal, and on Saturday to the meal, and others would go to whatever. But there is a kind of test.
Yeah.
So this is the figures. I'm a man of figures, or whatever. But they're paying me for this. I think that at the end, the quantity will become quality. Because if you have 100 people that are dealing with the Dharma, it's different than we have 100,000 or 10,000 or 1,000. Because they all will be the people that Dharma is the lives, and others the Dharma will be a kind of some kind of experience that they can talk on Friday night. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody started from like an infant.
Yeah.
And I'm going back to the vision. Because I think that the Dharma friend, and I'm quite a unique bird because we don't we don't belong to the Dharma friend, and we don't belong to Vana, which is the Theravada, and to the others. So, and when this holiness asked
the Yatir, the best friends in Israel, to do some kind of union, some kind of down federation. And they started the process. I tried to co-lead it with some guys from Yatir. And we couldn't do it. The first thing that I thought about is let's have some kind of a website in which everybody can go and push a button and say what's next week, and they will see all the options. Mm. They will decide.
Mm.
I don't like Theravada. I heard a nice thing about Goenka. Tibetan is my future. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the end, there will be a greater group.
Mm-hmm.
So and I thought, as Gilly spoke before, that if people are ready to read about the Dharma in Hebrew, it's going to be better. So in this website there will be a library in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
So when nothing went, I invested the money, and we are going to have the website, and I'm going to offer it to all the groups.
Very nice. Yeah.
I hope they'll do.
That's very nice.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And from this point of view, the Dharma friends, and I'm speaking about the Dharma friend because I couldn't speak with the guys from Tavanama. Sorry. The waves can be stopped when you build a fence, and it's you have to think where really you build the fence, because you can continue with your blessed work that you did for the last 10 years, and you can share the Dharma with the other groups in Israel. And the bigger view, the bigger vision is that you can lead this process in Israel. Because in Israel there are two main groups. Because Goenka people speak with nobody.
So
they didn't come even to the to invitation of the federation. You and Tovana is the biggest organization in Israel. And if you work together with Tovana, you can lead. Well, you know, it's a big fluffy word, a revolution, but yes. Yes, it can be a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
If you look far enough and high enough, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Evolution and revolution.
Yeah.
And out of this unity, they can be built up a Dharma center in which they can be a spiritual leader from the Mahayana tradition. Mm-hmm. And from the Zen tradition, and from the Theravada tradition.
Yeah, you know, let me address that. In the Northwest U.S., there's an organization called Northwest Dharma Association, and they kind of are doing what you're talking about. It's a broad association, and different groups are members. You know, they kind of have some way of discriminating who's genuinely Buddhist and who isn't, because sometimes you have kind of these new age groups that come. But they have a website, and you know, they list all the different groups, and so you can look for a different group and find that group, and they have calendars of events with all the different things on it. And I think that's really nice, you know. And they meet together sometimes and have themes of certain meetings. Like, I know for a while they were really concerned with how can families practice the Dharma. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, maybe they organized a couple of things around that, and people got together. You know, how do you practice Dharma in the family, or how do you teach kids the Dharma? Or they would have, you know, maybe something about Dharma and psychotherapy and how you do that. So sometimes these, you know, you can have an overarching thing with special, like, seminars of topics that are like this that are of general interest. One thing that might be helpful is what I've noticed is in Buddhist groups, people tend to be a little bit wary of too much organization. Yeah? And so, I don't know at least just in the States it's like that, maybe here too. And so I found, for example, in the States, we every year, the Western monastics, we get together, some Asian monastics come too, but we get together and we're from different traditions, the color of robes in the room is incredible, and it's really wonderful. But we are not any kind of legal body. We haven't incorporated, we don't have bylaws, we don't try and make decisions. You know, we are just a group of friends meeting together, learning about each other's traditions. Last time we met, because there's this whole thing, you know, one topic about women's ordination in Buddhism, somebody suggested, let's write a letter as a group about this. Well, that wasn't okay. Because some groups, you know, think one way, and some groups think another way, and so we just decided, nope, we're not doing this as a group. Yeah? But we can still meet together and get to know each other and learn about each other's practices and things like that, but not necessarily try and act as a unified body. So I think that it works better to do it that way and just get to know each other. Whenever we try and organize something, then sometimes people have resistances. You know, this one group was saying, well, this thing about women's ordination is a really touchy thing in my group, and I've got to talk to the people in my group before I sign this letter. You know? And then I knew this group for a long time. I knew that they were going to, you know, it wasn't going to go anywhere. Oh, what to do? I know they have this problem. This is the way they are. I get mad. You know? And I know some of the women in that group, and we talk together, and, you know, I'm glad I'm, I mean, we have problems in the Tibetan tradition too, so, you know. But, you know, just somehow getting to know each other without trying to organize things. Yeah. Of course, if His Holiness comes, then it's helpful to organize, everybody participate and organize together. But otherwise, just keep it very loose on a level of friendship. It's really nice if you have the website and you make it available to everybody, then everybody can put on what they want or whatever, you know, give people certain space so one group doesn't dominate. Yeah, because I think, you know, in Asia, the different traditions didn't know about each other from real personal things. All they had was what was written in their own texts about what the other traditions believe in. So the Theravada think that all the Mahayana people made up the Mahayana sutras and they're not really Buddhists. And the Mahayana people think that the Theravada people are selfish. And, you know, and everybody thinks the people who practice Vajrayana, all they do is have sex and drink. And, you know, I mean, this is just kind of passed down as different. There's this one Tibetan term, it's called Namtok. And Lama Yeshe translates it as superstition. Other people translate it as preconception. It's just our gossipy mind, you know, our opinionated mind is basically what it is. And we just, you know, do all this kind of stuff. So I think it's, and since we all are, you know, all the different groups here all started with Asian teachers, you know, and although the Asian teachers all say, yes, it's very important for Dharma to be harmonious, they don't really know very much about other traditions. And they have a lot of preconceptions about the other ones. So I think one of the basic things we need to do is just be friends. You know, not organize stuff, but just learn, you know, what's your tradition like? How do you practice? What do you do? You know, and like one of my teachers has told me to go learn more about the Theravada tradition. Mm-hmm. And I'm enjoying it so much. And what I'm finding is that there is so much in common between the Theravada tradition and the Tibetan tradition that nobody even knows, you know. People think that they're two different things, and there's so much in common. It's incredible. So this kind of thing, I think, is really useful for producing harmony and open-mindedness. Yeah. So, and, you know, we just have to, in our own personal practice, just, and this is part of it, learning to be more tolerant, you know. That, and this is one of the beauty, you know, when they talk about the Buddha's teachings, they say that the Buddha recognized that there were so many different living beings with different dispositions and different ways of thinking and different tendencies. And so the Buddha's teachings are so broad and vast because he had to teach something that would resonate with everybody. And when we look at the different traditions, it's such a perfect example of the Buddha's skillfulness as a teacher. Yeah? Because you see that different traditions emphasize different things because different sentient beings have different ways of thinking and they have different needs and they have different inclinations. So rather than see the differences as, oh, you're different than me, now we have to compare because one of us has to be better and one of us has to be right and the other one's wrong. And of course, mine is better and mine is right and yours is bad and yours is wrong. Instead of seeing the differences like that, to see all the differences as a real tribute to the Buddha's skillfulness as a teacher and how he could reach out to so many different people. You know? And so, yeah, different people practice differently, you know, and different people have different teachers. And, you know, people meditate in different ways. But we all depend on the Four Noble Truths. We all talk about love and compassion. We all talk about selflessness. We all take refuge in the Buddha Dharma Sangha. When we take refuge, we do not take refuge in a particular teacher. We do not take refuge in a particular tradition. We're taking refuge in the Buddha Dharma Sangha. Personally, we may follow one tradition or a particular teacher, but the refuge that we take is all the same.
Seems like we started a new conversation tonight,
mm-hmm.
and we have to make sure we do it in a harmonious, friendly way.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, mind what we're doing it. But it's a subject or Asian program which is that we've just only started to continue. And I would like to thank you very much for the talk. We know how strenuous this visit is,
mm-hmm.
and even though you have agreed to accept us tonight, so it's very kind and very appreciative.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that you are here tomorrow very early in the morning. So, on behalf of the group,
okay,
appreciate very much the visit, the course, the talk tonight. We hope that we can invite you soon for yet another visit. Maybe we can work on narrowing the gaps.
Okay, thank you. And I want you to all know that that the Abbey is also a resource for you, you know? And come and visit the Abbey and spend some time at the Abbey. And then I know you're all going to go, oh, it's so far away. Well, it's just as far away from me to come here. Okay? And I know that there's people, you know, there's some people in Mexico, and some of them from one center, that many of them have come to the Abbey, and that shows me that they're really earnest, so then I go there. Yeah? So it's a two-way thing. Okay?
I surfed the Abbey website.
Uh-huh.
I really appreciate the effort. It's before you visit, I've been there, and it gave me a lot of inspiration. Thank you for the effort.
Mm, thank
you. Such a great website.
Mm. Mm. Well, you know, the website just came about because some of the students were just enthusiastic about it. And so the students just kind of took the ball and ran. And my personal website too, tubtonchildren.org, that came because the students took the ball and said, we want to set it up, you know? So it really came from people having their own enthusiasm and then just acting on it. No. So, good. So I really appreciated my visit here. It was a lot of fun. And it's really remarkable to see how, what you've done in 10 years. Yeah? like I was teasing you, some things never change. And so people still walk in and out of the teachings. we'll get to that. But then other things have changed. And, you know, you really see a lot of progress in people's personal practice and progress in just people's consideration and awareness of how to host a teacher. And then also your enthusiasm. And you people have had incredible fortune to have many excellent teachers here, you know. I mean, kind of one a month. It's just amazing, you know. So this, you know, it comes about because you all work hard to make it happen. You know? So then everybody benefits from it. Yeah, so you've really done quite exceptional work in 10 years. And so, keep on. Yeah? Yeah? Thank you.